It's a fairly foggy day out there today, I think.
I think it's clearing up now, but yeah, when I was driving here, I couldn't see anything.
Yeah, just one of those days in the Pacific Northwest where the weather just decides, hey, you know what? The render distance on Earth is a bit too long. Let's turn it down a little bit. You're listening to Ask an Atheist, 844-SKEPTIC, 844-753-7842. Did I get that right?
I think you got that right, Sam.
Trying to learn how to remember that number. Oh, boy. So shall we talk about the thing that everybody's talking about today?
What is the thing everybody's talking about today?
Well, the thing everybody's talking about on my Facebook page is that Freedom from Atheism Foundation Facebook group, which...
is one of your favorites.
Oh, God. It's been one of those things that I follow for a long time, because they're just absolutely crazy. I am 90... No, I'm sorry. I'm about 70% sure it's a Pope.
Yeah.
Now, the comments on that Facebook group aren't.
Yeah.
And that's just wonderful. You know, but I'm on there playing it serious. But actually, it's The Daily Show. So this week, Dave, you brought this to our attention. Dan Barker of the Freedom from Religion Foundation actually appeared on The Daily Show. Didn't go out like it usually does.
Yeah, he didn't come out looking good on this one. They did about a 7-minute segment about the letter they wrote to a diner in, I believe, North Carolina.
Winston-Salem, North Carolina. Yeah, this is Mary's Gourmet Diner.
All right.
Yeah,
they had been offering a prayer discount of 15%. So if someone received their meal and then bowed their head and just, you know, sort of mumbled something or maybe just, you know, closed their eyes and looked pensive for a little bit, they offered a prayer discount.
Yeah. And it's a situation where we're kind of disagreeing on this one somewhat. Like, there are points on this that we agree on, points that we're kind of a little different on, but what I really feel like the fact that Dan Barker came out looking so bad on this Daily Show segment has to do with the fact that when you do things that make you look like a bully, some people are going to call you a bully.
Is he really a bully here?
I'm not sure he actually a bully, but I'm also not convinced that this was
I'm going to come out swinging right away. I think calling him a bully is really disingenuous. I think that's because what is he doing other than appearing on The Daily Show and writing a letter to a restaurant in what, Winston-Salem, about maybe perhaps follow the laws on this one?
Well, he's also going out of his way to write a letter. Well, the organization, I'm not going to say Dan Barker himself.
Sure,
but
sure.
The organization is writing a letter to a restaurant they never got a complaint about. This isn't like a high school where there's a student there who contacts them to say, look, I'm facing religious discrimination. This is something they saw online and said, we need to deal with this.
I think that it would be okay for an organization whose purpose it is to maintain the separation of church and state and advocate for free thinkers, for those that are being discriminated on religious grounds or on grounds of creed, to say, hey, you know what? We don't personally have someone there that's experiencing this, but I'm writing a letter informing you that this is actually against, you know, either state statute, federal statute, lots of different things. You cannot give a discount to someone based on their creed, based on their religion. You can do it on their military status. You can do it on whether they, you know, wear a whole bunch of colors for the local sports team. But you can't do that. And that's something that's been shown and upheld in courts. You can't bring a Sunday church flyer in order to get a discount to the fair. And I think that it's fine to say, hey, you might want to stop. Did you know that this is the case?
So, curious question, and this is an honest inquiry. I really don't know.
Sure.
What is the difference between a military discount and a prayer discount?
One is for the military, and one is for going to church.
Okay.
One is about creed, and the other is about job. I mean, the military discount, it, to me, is akin to a professional day at a bar where people who work in the industry get a discount. And that's just because, you know, that's because you work in the industry or it's because you're a part of this crowd. But it's not about what you think or what you do. And especially in the American Southeast, it's not about creating an in-group or an out-group in the same way. There's no social ostracism for being for being a bartender, but not in the same way for being a Christian versus being a Jew, for instance, or for being an atheist.
Well, but if the diner's owner was making the argument that it didn't matter who you were praying to, or even if you were praying, if you just sort of bowed your head in silence for a moment, you would get the discount.
How is that better? All you have to do is pretend you're praying. All you have to do is kowtow to the local superstition, whether you believe in it or not, and you get 10% off a Danish. How is that good?
Well, what's the difference between that and saying all you have to do is wear a military uniform and you get 10% off a Danish?
Most of the time you don't. You got to present your military ID card.
The thing I just said is the difference. Is one is about a job and one is about specifically serving your country and supposedly helping everybody. And the other one is about believing in a particular superstition, a particular superstition that holds political supremacy in this country and is an expression of religious privilege. I think there's a huge difference here.
I don't see it as a huge difference.
Show me why it's not.
Because you're still excluding what some people from a discount and other people not. And in fact, I would say that the prayer discount.
Okay,
because you're
sidestepping it. I'm gonna bring this back to your attention.
Okay. Very clearly.
I want to understand why you see it the same way when one is about a job that you've chosen and the other one is about what you believe and an expression of religious privilege. I would like you to answer that one. I understand that it's one that you're creating groups and saying this group gets a discount and this group doesn't. I understand that. That's fairly basic. But what you're not bringing into it is this social dynamic. Is the fact that that religion is a method is something that people get persecuted for.
And I feel like the difference for me, and I'm trying my best to answer your question here, and I'm just, you know, as I'm trying to wrap my brain around it, it's coming down to the differences. I don't even have the words for this. There is a difference in my head that I cannot even describe.
I think what it comes down to is the Civil Rights Act. And, Dan Barker, when he did a follow-up statement after his appearance, he said, look, what he said repeatedly during the interview was, if you think the Civil Rights Act is petty, then our complaint is petty, right? But most people who defend freedoms don't think that the Civil Rights Act is petty. And having a particular belief or creed makes you a protected class under the Civil Rights Act. You can't discriminate on the basis of creed. And I think that's the difference. I think that's what it comes down to.
I mean,
bartender is not a protected class under the Civil Rights Act, nor under state statutes.
That's
as far
true.
As I'm aware. If bartender is a protected class under some state, let's move there.
Let's change it to something a little bit more clear in today's day and age. How about a straight discount? If you're straight, you get a discount.
Now, okay, this is a dangerous one for me because I feel like there's no way I can defend my point without people jumping with, oh my God, you're a homophobe, which I am clearly, I feel like I don't really need to establish my cred as not being a homophobe.
Okay.
But I feel like one of the better arguments for the other side, like let's take this straight to sort of the big elephant that's been going on around the country, which is the gay weddings of people refusing to serve couples.
You're wrong about that too, aren't you?
I'm not. I'm not saying I agree. I'm saying that there is some validity to the point that a private business should be able to decide who they want to serve. Now, having said that, there's discrimination laws and the laws should be upheld. So God, this is really hard to explain because I feel like I'm digging myself in a hole, but I know where I stand. But
there are anti-discrimination statutes in, say, Washington State to protect people based on sexual orientation, or in certain municipalities to prevent discrimination based on gender presentation. But the fact is that in Winston-Salem, North Carolina, the Civil Rights Act does reign, and that's a federal one, and it says you can't discriminate based on someone's creed.
The idea that businesses can decide who and who they serve and why they serve, and it's completely up to them because they're private individuals or whatever, that's nice in theory. That's a nice idea, absent any historical context, absent any taking history out of the equation. But if you take history out of the equation, you're taking out the reason that we have these discrimination laws in the first place.
Right. This is where I fall on this. When I hear this argument is that we tried this once. We tried allowing businesses to decide whether or not they wanted to serve black customers. And we found out that black people in the South were not allowed to take full part in their own community.
Right.
So this is why these laws are there. Okay, so this is kind of where I'm trying to get to here, is this is why it's important that these laws are there. And I don't necessarily feel like a prayer discount is the same thing.
It's not the same thing. Well, actually, this goes back to something that happened in the Daily Show interview, which we'll probably talk about in a minute. They're not the same thing, but they're still violations of the law.
So they're
the same act, and they're still both expressions of Christian privilege. Mm-hmm. And Christian privilege is the driver for a lot of persecution of people in this country. Religious privilege has been used to push just about any negative thing you can think of, including racism. I mean, there's a reason why we have these, you know, ideological separations, and we have these protections for people who are traditionally discriminated against. I mean, this is if it's not for this, what is it for?
Let me throw an example out for you on the flip side. If let's say in this situation where she's not allowed to give a prayer discount. Okay, I don't think I got time to say that, so we're going to go into
break. All right, why don't we go into a break, and we were just going to do this in the first segment, but I think this kind of exploded. So this is Ask an Atheist, 844-SKEPTIC, 844-753-7842. We're going to go to a break, and when we come back, I'm going to continue skinning Dave here.
You can advertise on Ask an Atheist on the radio, on our website, and in our podcast. People just like you who have the same interests are listening right now, just like you are, and thousands will download this podcast and listen to it later. If you have a product, service, or idea to sell, people here in the Pacific Northwest and people around the world, thousands will hear your message. Let us help you sell your product, service, or idea. Contact us at advertising@askanatheist.tv. That's advertising@askanatheist.tv.
I'm Mike Gillis.
And I'm Casey Dorn, and we want to ask you an important question.
Are you sick and tired of other panel discussion shows wasting your time droning on and on about foreign policy, economics, and human rights?
Or do you want to hear conversations about things that actually matter?
We host a podcast called Radio Versus the Martians. Every month we gather a panel of our nation's finest minds and plunge a rusty prison shank into the heart of tough questions that have an impact on the lives of real people like you.
Like, are drivers required to pull over for the Ghostbusters?
Is the United Federation of Planets actually an oppressive dictatorship run by guidance counselors?
Is Arnold Schwarzenegger secretly a genius?
And are we being mean when we laugh at movies that are so bad they're good?
So write your congressman and let them know that Radio Versus the Martians is available on iTunes, Stitcher, and on RadioVersusTheMartians.com.
Imagine tropical waters, warm sandy beaches, friendly people, incredible weather. The English-speaking Caribbean island nation of St. Lucia awaits. Don Summers and his team at Professional Realty Group are ready to assist you. Whether you're looking for an investment, a place to retire, or a killer vacation property, St. Lucia has homes in all price ranges starting at $110,000. Call Don at 780-237-4718 and check out dndrealty.ca.
If you are a humanist, atheist, or freethinker from Everett, Washington to the Canadian border, Humanists of North Puget Sound welcomes you. Your freethought neighbors to the north have been promoting secular ideas for over 20 years. They're humanists with a rational worldview informed by science, inspired by art, and motivated by compassion. Join up for monthly conversation, camaraderie, and activism. Humanists of North Puget Sound. Visit humanistsnps.org.
Billy, I am a Nigerian prince, and I want to hide $1 billion in your locker.
Wow, $1 billion?
All I need is your lunch money.
What a great deal. Here you go.
Wait, Billy. Just because you want to believe something doesn't mean you should. Come to Camp Quest Northwest, where you'll learn critical thinking and science in a fun-filled week-long nature camp.
No!
Camp Quest Northwest can be found at campquestnorthwest.org. Donations and volunteers accepted. The devil is not real.
Ask an Atheist may have gone on the road, but we're not making big bucks.
We still need to keep the lights on, and 95% of our costs are for airtime alone.
That's why we need your contributions.
If you've got something to advertise, consider Ask an Atheist in your ad budget.
Our listener Peggy said it best. Step up and contribute to keep secular voices on the air. For $5, you could have a latte or a moment of science.
Take on Peggy's challenge and contribute today.
For details, go to askanatheist.tv or contribute directly via PayPal to paypal@askanatheist.tv.
Welcome back. This is Ask an Atheist, 844-SKEPTIC, toll-free nationwide. That's our voicemail number. When we went into the break, we were talking about Dan Barker, the FFRF, prayer discounts, and you. And you have a hypothetical that you didn't get a chance to finish, so I'd like you to get into it now.
Right. I was trying to explain that. Okay, so we are all agreed that a bakery that isn't allowed, that refuses to serve a gay couple, that's not allowed. That's
right.
Discrimination under the law.
Right.
What about the flip side? What if you have a baker who's gay and the Westboro Baptist Church comes to them and wants them to make a cake for him? Something that they find just abhorrent, you know, wants them to write, you know, homophobic slurs all over this cake so they can celebrate anti-gay day in the church? I don't know. But what... would the gay baker have to do this?
Becky?
I think yes. I think in statutes that state that you can't refuse service based on creed, yes, you would have to do that. The gay baker, or even the just regular sane baker that would hate the idea of baking for the Westboro Baptist Church, would bake the cake. I don't know that they would be required legally to do an excellent job baking the cake.
I think they ought. I mean, personally, I think... That is a heck of an opportunity that you've got there. If you've got the Westboro Baptist Church coming up and saying, we want your gay bakery to make a cake for us. That's an opportunity for dialogue, or at least for attention.
It definitely is. But are we okay with that? With that being,
I think that would be required.
Okay. Okay. So it's maybe I'm completely off base on this entire situation. I felt getting back to the original point, when we were watching The Daily Show, I felt that the FFRF did come off as bullies. And this is part of the thing, is that this is not the first time Dan Barker's been on The Daily Show.
Right.
And he knows the drill. He knows he's going to go in there for hours long interview that they're going to pull a couple clips out of.
Can you imagine, though, if somebody went through, I don't know, the Ask an Atheist material looking to slam us? Can you imagine the kind of editing they could come up with?
I did, actually.
Yeah.
We were trying to put together promos, and I was trying to find really great clips, but I found quite a few of them. That was a lot of fun.
Yeah. I mean, you just from all the time I talk about North Korea on this show, you could come up with me saying some really horrible stuff if you're willing to be really disingenuous with their editing, which occasionally The Daily Show is. For as much credit as they get in the Freethought community, I mean... Becky, you had a press release from the FFRF responding to this interview.
Yes, yeah. Dan was interviewed by an in-your-face host for almost 2 hours, and the punchline to Dan was, "You are an expletive." Of course, they didn't say expletive.
You're a jerk.
And they said that Dan's point, made repeatedly during the interview but not aired, was, if you think the Civil Rights Act is petty, then our complaint was petty. Of course, The Daily Show is going to try and make someone look ridiculous, and so they picked up on... you know, Dan's quote of, under the law, Selma and a 15% discount are the same thing. They didn't even clip under the law, to their credit, because yes, technically under the law, they are. They're all violations of the Civil Rights Act.
And that's
the
something...
acts in specific are very different.
And I said exactly that in the last segment, is that under the law, they are the same. Morally, they are not. Now, with that phrase, all you have to do is cut right before morally. Mm-hmm. And now I'm saying that they are
now
the same.
You're a jerk.
Now I'm a jerk.
Yeah.
And that's clearly what's going on here. That happens. And that's, you know, that's why being on The Daily Show is a two-edged sword. Now, I think there's something we might agree on, is it really necessary to bring Dan Barker to bear on this kind of thing? I mean, is it really necessary to make this a national point? Or, because, I mean, let you know, I think there's a time to go forward to make the, you know, to go on the attack, to be the bad guy and say, you know, we're going to bring everything we've got against you. Ken Ham. Right. Anytime Ken Han opens his mouth, I think it's open season. So, right. But this is just a restaurant in Winston-Salem that might not know better. So maybe put your second stringers on it. I don't know. It's like you write a nice letter. You say, we'll help you. You know, we understand this isn't, you know, that maybe you're not trying to be harmful, but here's how you're being harmful. Now, the proprietor is probably going to see this as an attack because religious persecution. Notice the hand waving. But I think there's a time for that, and there's a time for the other thing. And I do have a problem with the way the FFRF occasionally prosecutes what it does. For example, the way we got treated in 2008, which I will never let them live down, as far as I'm concerned. But, you know.
Well, and I want to give some credit to the proprietor of this diner that in all of this, she does actually seem like a really classy person who doesn't want to offend people. When she first got the letter, she immediately stopped giving the discount and put a note on the door saying, we're not giving this discount anymore because we really don't want to make people feel left out.
Well, credit to her.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, all right.
And all of this, I think, like, she's come out pretty well. She seems like someone who's like, oh, didn't know. Sorry. And
right.
Stopped. So.
Well, that's one good thing. But and Becky is here today with us with a report. A 500-page, almost completely impenetrable report, because it's so information-dense, about freedom of thought throughout the world.
Yeah, so the International Humanist and Ethical Union published its third annual Freedom of Thought report. The IHEU is actually recognized as an official NGO advising organization to the UN, and the Freedom of Thought report came out in 2012, 2013, and now on December 10th, it came out with its 2014 report, and December 10th, incidentally, is the International Human Rights Day. So the target audience here is the UN, really, or others concerned with freedom of thought or belief. And like you said, Sam, it is over 500 pages.
Yeah.
So when you say the target audience is the UN and other groups, do they actually deliver it to the UN Council themselves, or is it just sort of published in... Hey, UN, you should go read that.
I'm not sure on this point exactly, but I do know that the IHEU has been advising and testifying, you know, repeatedly throughout the year about certain human rights violations specific to issues of humanists and free thinkers around the world. Really, the focus of this report is state discrimination, which they classify as systemic, legal, or official forms of discrimination or restriction on freedom of thought, belief, and expression. But they interestingly also go into reports of religious privileging. So what we were talking about in terms of sort of unofficial ways that atheists or freethinkers experience discrimination based on the social status or the religious privilege that religious
believers.
So it's not
just government action then.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Yeah.
But the report does mostly look at government action and especially in terms of their rankings. So this is really interesting because each country that's covered in this report receives a rating on a 5-point scale and they get ranked as free and equal or mostly satisfactory. The middle is there is systemic discrimination, severe discrimination, and finally the worst is grave violations.
I noticed specifically that they don't list the pseudo state of the Holy See.
That was really interesting. So they provide some caveats in their report about which states they cover and things like that. And very specifically, very pointedly, they say we do not evaluate the pseudo state of the Holy See.
Wow.
So I thought that was very pointed. But they do say things like, well, you know what, the UN has recognized Palestine as a member, you know, group, and so we report on Palestine you know, individually.
Right.
But some of the associated territories, depending on whether they have laws and how they execute those laws. So those 5-point ratings is actually based on 5 boundary conditions.
Right.
So you've got things like education, you've got things like community courts versus religious tribunals, sort of how law how law plays out, how judgments play out in the country. You've got freedom of expression or advocacy for humanist values.
We should probably mention where some of the states land on this. Like with free and equal, which is their best rating, you've got Belgium and the Netherlands, which which you would expect. Estonia, which makes sense, but probably no one would think of because Estonia. And Sierra Leone, which was a bit of a surprise. Can you tell me about that?
Yeah, so it's really interesting because if you look at these bookends of Estonia and Sierra Leone, Estonia, you know, is one of the least religious countries in all of Europe. I gained independence from, you know, Russia. And so that's not incredibly surprising. But Sierra Leone is an incredibly religiously diverse country. You have estimates of 60 to 70% Muslim, but even within there you have Shia, Sunni, Ahmadi. You have a large pluralism of religious adherents. You have about 20 to 30% Christian. But then what's also notable about Sierra Leone is you have a lot of syncretic beliefs. And although Sierra Leone, you know, it's recovering still from civil war, it's incredibly poor.
And I think it underscores the point that just because you score particularly well on religious freedom doesn't necessarily mean you score well on human rights.
On like human those, rights those or things, being able to provide for their citizens.
Those things generally go together, but they don't necessarily. And yeah. I think that's an important point.
So that free and equal is really interesting in that respect. You do have a couple of other things like Taiwan. I think
there was, what, 9 countries in the world that actually got the full free and equal?
There were only eight or nine that got that free and equal. Interestingly, U.S. is not.
No, they fall under mostly satisfactory, which seems pretty accurate.
Mostly satisfactory, exactly. Yeah.
And then systemic discrimination. You've got Kenya, South Sudan, South Africa, Bahamas, Cuba, and Costa Rica. Cuba there, I think, is there for pretty obvious reasons.
Right. And it's interesting because you've got things like Costa Rica, which on a lot of scales is considered a very livable place, you know, socially progressive, you know, moderate, stable economy, things like that. But you have systemic discrimination against atheists and freethinkers through various things like an education system or, you know, the legal privileging of, you know, people in religious status.
Hmm.
You've got severe discrimination in places like Rwanda, El Salvador, Guyana, Paraguay, Kazakhstan, and then finally grave violations, which on the map of the report, and it's at freethoughtreport.com, they're blacked out. These countries are blacked out. And you see all over the world, so we're not just talking, you know, in one, you know, region or another, but you have like Afghanistan, North Korea, Egypt, China, Morocco, Eritrea. A lot of them are concentrated in our Muslim countries or Muslim majority countries.
That there's a lot of them, but they're not just the only ones. And China and then North Korea. China because communist, North Korea because My Little Pony. You know, that sort of thing.
Jongist?
There is Kim Il-sungism, but I think it's you're thinking Juche ideology. So blah blah blah.
I just feel like the state is the religion there now.
Yeah. Absolutely.
So any kind of dissident, you know, expressions would be highly, highly punished.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I want to call these things highlights, but there are some really salient points. Really, the overall report found that the overwhelming majority of countries fail to respect the rights of atheists and freethinkers as set out in UN treaties. UN treaties and, you know, the Articles 18 and 19 on, you know, UN Charter for Human Rights, all those kinds of things.
So it's basically that, you know, a lot of countries have problems suppressing minority religions, but there's very few places that are doing giving atheists a fair shake, pretty much.
Right. And in a lot of these places, you have atheist freethinkers and those of minority faiths that are treated very similarly.
Well, we've got an interesting news story related to that. Waleed al-Husseini, an atheist Palestinian blogger, recently penned an editorial for the Daily Beast in which he describes his 10-month sentence for his blog and Facebook postings, which were deemed blasphemous by Palestinian officials. The recent editorial piece asked why the rights of persecuted atheists seem to gather neither media nor political attention around the world. After being released, al-Husseini obtained a travel visa from the French embassy in Jordan and is living in Paris awaiting a asylum ruling.
So this is an example where you do have... an example of he was in jail for apostasy and blasphemy, and he was beaten. He was said, "Who made you write these things?" Because it was inconceivable that he could be an atheist, and he was expressing atheist views.
And the thing that really blows me away about this story is that, you know, I know how bad it is to be an atheist in Pakistan. He didn't know. When he started his blog and
because you heard. It's not like we've been.
This is true.
Yeah.
But at the same time, like, he lives there. And when he wrote this stuff, he never imagined that saying his opinion would put him in jail.
Yeah.
And so I feel like there's like a dichotomy in the way that I'm learning about Pakistan and sort of
Palestine.
Palestine.
In this case. Yeah, West Bank.
Oh. Oh, Palestine. Okay, completely different. I thought it was Pakistan. But
oh, okay.
But still, I'm you know, the way that I'm learning the about these Islamic heavy countries and sort of the shade in which I'm viewing it through, as opposed to someone who lives there who, you know, has a much better understanding of how that country is. I get the feeling from reading this that I feel like it's worse than it actually is.
Right.
Because if someone living there would never, it never occurred to him that they could be arrested for this, it probably doesn't seem like that big of a deal to him.
Well, what I find really weird here is we're coming up on the 3-year anniversary or death anniversary, I guess, of Christopher Hitchens. 3-year death anniversary sale.
Raise a glass of scotch.
Yeah, absolutely. And what I always found weird about Christopher Hitchens is his support of Palestine versus Israel, which, you know, okay, he picked and my question is, why are you picking a dog in that fight? They're both theocratic nations. And here's an example of that. And it just always kind of threw me off. You know, it's like everybody loves him, but then every once in a while he'd have these weird ideas like that one, which always kind of threw me. Now, granted, back then, the government in Palestine wasn't quite as hardline as it is today, but it was still a theocratic nation. It's still a Jewish nation and a Muslim nation when there should be a secular nation that can support both religions, maybe.
An interesting thing is actually Israel is on the books. It's having blasphemy laws.
Right.
They stem from the Palestinian mandate when it was, you know, administrated by Britain, and was used as a way, it's a clause about offending religious sensibilities or having crude criticism of religious feelings. And it stemmed from trying to quash anti-Jewish riots amongst you know, Muslims in the Palestinian Mandate area. All of those laws that talk about offending sensibilities and religious sensibilities, those are actually in 55 countries. And we're talking European nations.
Wow.
We're talking Britain. We're talking Ireland. We're talking Austria. And so that also contributes to a hostile environment for atheists. Because if you cannot publicly declare your criticism of a religious belief, then what right do you have? Certainly not freedom of thought.
The pinnacle of hostile environment would be the 13 nations where blasphemy is a capital offense. And I'll list, you got the list here, and let's see if we can find a theme. Afghanistan, Iran, Malaysia, Maldives, Mauritania, Nigeria, Pakistan, Qatar, Saudi Arabia, Somalia, Sudan, United Arab Emirates, and Yemen.
These are all where apostasy, leaving the state religion, or blasphemy are punishable by death.
And which state religion is pretty similar for all of them, I believe.
Most of these, actually all of these countries are majority Muslim. Nigeria is about 50-50, but it is majority Muslim. And in that case, apostasy, you cannot switch.
It's not so much majority as it is who's in power.
Yes.
I think is the important thing there. And I noticed that North Korea isn't on here, but North Korea, they'll kill you for sneezing. So,
yeah.
But honestly, maybe that might need to be in the list.
Is there, as far as Nigeria, is there a state religion like...
I don't believe that there is, but we do know that Nigeria for years has been really plagued by the Boko Haram group, which is persecuting even moderate Muslims. And this report, the Freedom of Thought report, actually does look at that, gives special attention to Boko Haram in Nigeria and to ISIS or Islamic State in Syria as two areas of extreme concern for minority, you know, religious adherents and for freethinkers.
Right.
That's, we talk about it on the show, you know, where you can get persecuted for being a Christian. You know, Christians talk about persecution in the United States, kind of a joke, but there are places around the world, and we would be remiss in saying otherwise, that where Christians are facing persecution.
Yeah, where you can be killed just for being Christian.
But in a lot of those same countries, you can be killed for being an atheist, too.
Exactly, yeah.
So, same difference, really.
There's some really interesting things that a lot of people don't think about when they think about discrimination. There are nations where you have to, on your official ID, declare a religion, and you only get a certain number of choices, and humanism or atheism isn't one of them. Could you ever imagine being in that place? It was just recently in Israel that you were allowed to put on a birth certificate, no religion.
Yeah, that's crazy. That's so what would you choose then, Sam?
What would I choose?
Yeah, what would you choose?
Well, am I making a realistic decision or funny?
I'm guessing they have a list that you have to choose from.
Right. I'd probably just pick one.
Just pick one at random.
Or pick one with not a lot of followers. If I'm being tactical, I would pick one that has a presence in the country, but doesn't have a huge presence, so that nobody would know if I was being blasphemous or not.
I like it.
Yeah, and so that might be something I would do. But honestly, you know, at this point in my life, I think it'd be obvious that I'd try and, yeah, I'm an atheist, hey, you know, throw me in prison or something.
Interestingly enough, if you chose one of those weird low population religions, in some states, it could be a crime to leave that religion.
Right.
That itself is apostasy. Even if you switch to a different religion, a better one per the people in charge.
I would imagine that if you were changing from a minority religion, like in Saudi Arabia, if you were an apostate in a minority religion going to, you know, Islam, I really doubt they'd throw you in prison.
I would probably agree with you.
Yeah, I mean, that's why I said it's not so much what the majority religion is as it is so much who's in power. This is Ask an Atheist, 844 Skeptic. We're going to go to a break, and when we come back, we're going to continue talking about this report from the who again?
The International Humanist and Ethical Union.
Fantastic.
You can advertise on Ask an Atheist on the radio, on our website, and in our podcast. People just like you who have the same interests are listening right now, just like you are, and thousands will download this podcast and listen to it later. If you have a product, service, or idea to sell, people here in the Pacific Northwest and people around the world, thousands will hear your message. Let us help you sell your product, service, or idea. Contact us at advertising@askanatheist.tv. That's advertising@askanatheist.tv.
Looking to buy or sell a home or other property in Edmonton, Alberta, or surrounding areas? Demand a professional and call Don Summers of Professional Realty Group at 780-237-4718 or visit dndrealty.ca and discover how he works with you to achieve your goals, save you time, and protect your investment. Don Summers of Professional Realty Group. It's time you hired a professional.
Secular humanism is a non-theistic view of the universe built on a foundation of reason, science, and democracy. Humanists support intellectual freedom and critical thinking, and we hold that human beings are autonomous centers of moral development. The Humanists of Washington is the oldest humanist organization in the state and offers a community of freethinkers who educate the public and celebrate life. For information on how you can be a part of the humanist activities in the Puget Sound area, become a member of the Humanists of Washington today. Visit humanistsofwashington.org.
Need a break from the theistic world?
Live in the Seattle area?
Like the Flying Spaghetti Monster?
Whether you're an ardent non-believer, steadfast agnostic, or marauding Pastafarian, check out the award-winning nonprofit organization Seattle Atheists.
Socialize at the Third Thursday Meetup, attend lectures, come camping, donate blood.
Connect at seattleatheists.org.
Seattle Atheists, we believe in you.
Maggie used to say, man, never stop fighting. Don't ever give up. And as I look out across this crowd right now, I'll tell you, I can see her face in every one of you. I can hear her voice every time you speak.
His name was Matthew Hoffman, the candidate. And though he didn't understand it now, years of inaction, deceit, and fear had formed a cancer. And now it would destroy him. AnnexRadio.com.
So you're on your Monday morning drive, and someone on Ask an Atheist says something that really, really gets your goat. You want to talk, you want to yell, you want to scream, and clicking the shiny red candy-like button just isn't good enough. Good! Call us! Leave us a message! Call Ask an Atheist at 206-420-0997 and vent your spleen now and for the future! That's 206-420-0997 and wait for the tone.
Welcome back. This is Ask an Atheist, 844 Skeptic, and we are talking about the Freedom of Thought report from the International Humanist and Ethical Union. And so Becky, you have some other points that you really wanted to make from this report.
Yeah, so some of the interesting things that came out of this report actually focus on, for one, Russia. So Russia, the Orthodox Christian Church, is in the process of really replacing communist ideology, and it's been in that process for a while. So at this point, any expression of atheist views can be equated with blasphemy, and that is criminalized in Russia at this point.
Yeah, we're really seeing a big backlash from the Soviet Union days, the atheistic government, and now we're really looking at an Orthodox takeover of Russian government.
Right.
And every story we ever do about Russia, from the absurd taking down the big iPad monument because the CEO of Apple is gay, to, you know, any other issue that you see with gay rights in Russia, comes directly from the Orthodox Church.
Right. It's the Orthodox Church, in a lot of ways, feels like it's basically reclaiming their own.
Yeah.
Because it's the Russian Orthodox Church. But I mean, it's that's what religion does when it gets a placehold in government, which is why a secular government is so important.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and in the case of Russia, it's really not just important just for, you know, free thinkers. This is something that affects atheists, that affects people who are allies and proponents of gay rights. Freedom of expression is really, really restricted when you're going by what Russian Orthodoxy says.
Right.
Another thing that's really good to highlight is derogatory speech against atheists by public officials has been on the rise. So, for instance, the Prime Minister of Malaysia said, oh, well, they call it human rightism, where the core beliefs are based on humanism and secularism as well as liberalism. It's deviationist in that it glorifies the desires of man alone and rejects any value system that encompasses religious norms and etiquettes. They do this on the premise of championing human rights. We will not tolerate any demands or right to apostasy by Muslims. And so you have these incredibly harsh words by elected officials.
Right.
So that's Malaysia. You also have this past year, Saudi Arabia, in their anti-terrorism law, they actually ban calling for atheist thought in any form or calling into question the fundamentals of the Islamic religion. So again, these moves towards state governments or elected officials to call out atheists and in many cases criminalize their activities.
So would you include America in that? Because I feel like we're seeing a rise in elected officials speaking out against atheists. I mean, it's always been there to some degree here.
But, oh boy, howdy, yeah.
But I feel like it's becoming more and more common when, you know, a couple of years ago with Jessica Ahlquist and her own governor calling her an evil little thing on the radio.
Right.
You know, are we included in this? Like, clearly no one's calling for a ban on atheist thought, not any reasonable person, you know, maybe Gordon Klingenschmidt, but but, you know, just because we're not that bad doesn't mean that we're not still guilty. Right.
Well, I imagine that they are. I mean, we do have a number of states in the union that won't that say elected officials can't run for off or can't elected officials can't be atheists.
Mm-hmm. And that just came up a couple of years ago. Somebody was trying to get or a council was trying to get somebody thrown off.
Right.
Was North Carolina?
I think so. And that's in 7 states, I think, still have officially on the books that the religious test to hold public office.
Right. But I mean, we do have this sort of, you know, overarching document that will trump that, called the Constitution, which helps. So, you know, I would be very wary about equating, you know, the way things are done in the United States versus, you know, Bangladesh or Saudi Arabia or whatever. I, you know, noticed that the United States isn't on the top of the list.
Yeah.
It's on one rung down, and that may very well be the reason why.
Yeah.
You do have things like that. You know, I wouldn't be completely surprised if we did start seeing from elected officials in the United States. You have the Egypt's Ministry of Youth announcing a campaign to spread awareness of, quote, the dangers of atheism and how it creates a threat to society, encouraging young atheists in Egypt to reconsider their decisions and go back to their faith, go back to their religion. I could see someone running for an office in certain states and certain parts about educating youth and having, you know, youth character education programs that really, you know, help young people consider their spiritual lives.
Right.
You know, I mean, that's something.
No, that
you
did
kind
of happen here in Pierce County last year.
Yes, it did.
If I may bring it back to that. So if people want to see this report, and I called it impenetrable, but that's a little mean. It's really chock full of data. And if you want to talk about blasphemy I mean, we borrowed from this one a lot, and we refer to it a lot when we do our blasphemy talk. The 2012 report.
Yes.
The last time. But this is a report that I think anybody who's in the atheism visibility movement or what have you really should be aware of and really should be paying attention to. Where would they go for that?
It's freethoughtreport.com. And a really neat thing also is that you can actually submit and contribute to the report. They gather things throughout the year. This is the third annual publication of it. And so people from member organizations around the world or individuals can update and submit reports for things.
Fantastic. All right. We have some interesting news. Interesting. Weird. Fantasy football related news. Florida Panthers quarterback Cam Newton spoke for the first time after surviving a car wreck on December 9th that left his back fractured. In public statements and in an Instagram post, Newton repeatedly praised God and attributed his survival to playing in the fantasy league of the man upstairs. Newton will sit out games for the foreseeable future as he heals.
Now, I can say this because he's going to be okay. And
he is? Okay.
He is going to be fine. So in that, I just want to say, if God exists and he's omnipotent, he is not picking Cam Newton to be his fantasy quarterback.
Maybe he is. Maybe it's not fantasy football and actual football, and he needed a quarterback.
He needed a quarterback.
Yeah. So and, car accident. Yeah. I need you. I'm calling you up.
But wait. Oh, wait. That's Cam Newton. No, he can be fine.
Yeah. This is clearly the Old Testament God we're talking about here. Who changes his mind but doesn't change it all the way. He only lets you off with slight torture.
It's weird because it's like, I don't understand why athletes are as religious as they tend to be. Like, one of my favorite soccer players, Freddie Montero, used to play for the Sounders, would always praise God for his abilities and for giving him the chance and giving him the gifts that he had to be on the field. And I'm like, you put more work into being a soccer player in your first 15 years of life than I will put into anything in my entire life.
Well, I think part of it is he might seem a little, not praising God might be seen as, arrogance or something, or arrogance or something like that. Well, I that's part of what I think it is.
Yeah, it could be. Well, and maybe it's just, this is definitely partially coming from who I am and what I believe, but I see the flip side of that, which is like the Matthew McConaughey thanking God for making him a movie star, and like, yeah, God did that. He didn't care about all the starving kids in the world.
Yeah,
he was really worried that you could be a movie star.
Well, on the other hand,
you could be an athlete.
There's the guy who's thanking God for getting a touchdown, and then there's the guy who's religious and thanking God because he's not dead.
Yeah,
and
this is understandable.
Did you see the crumpled up autos from this accident?
No, I didn't.
Straight through an intersection. Yeah, I'll give him a little bit of a thankful moment there.
Do I think he's right? No. I mean, if God loved you, you wouldn't get in the accident, whatever. But you're religious. You went through some traumatic experience. Religion is the lens through which you choose to view life. That on this one, I'd give a pass. The
people, definitely.
I hit
a pass.
Hey, yeah. On this one, this one versus a grand slam. Okay, fine.
Yeah, we like Cam Newton better than Tim Tebow.
Yeah. Okay.
We wish him well in his recovery.
Absolutely. It's good to hear that he's going to be, back playing. I was a little bit worried about that. For foreseeable future could be forever in situations like that.
Yeah, he had back fractures, which is really scary. I do remember a while ago, David Beckham was taken out with what was called a minor back fracture or something.
Yeah.
Like, one of those words does not belong in there.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, things that don't belong. Oh, boy. Mississippi Reverend Edward James spent Friday afternoon outside the federal courthouse in Jackson protesting marriage equality with his horse, Charlotte, dressed in a wedding gown. The pastor held a sign that read, "Do you take this horse to be your unnatural wedded spouse to have and to hold? This might even be possible if the ban on same-sex marriage is lifted." A federal decision was made in November to lift such a ban. The Federal Court of Appeals will hear arguments on the case in January in New Orleans. Now, banned, B-A-N-D. Just want that out there. I actually had to go all over the place because all the media attention that I saw on this were very careful about how they shot the sign. Like, it's like, why are they missing the sign? I actually ended up having to go to the New York Daily News to get a good shot of it. And it was, B-A-N-D. Yeah,
so not only is it bad grammar, but it's like it's so much worse.
Right. I just wonder how these scare tactics work in the mod, in now where we have more states than less with marriage equality, and nobody's on fire.
Nobody's married their horse.
Nobody's married their horse. And in fact, the marriage equality has usually led to an economic boom, and religious people still exist. And I don't think anybody's been forced to marry I've not been forced to marry a guy. Nobody's been forced to marry anybody.
We haven't seen an uptick in divorce because of this.
Yeah. Well, not because of this. I mean, divorce has been on the rise for, what, 50 years now? Cats and dogs are not falling from the skies. We have not been hit by wormwood. There has not been, there's been no vacuum metastability event. So how do you sell this argument in 2014?
Perhaps those in Mississippi fear fancy dress horses. And I'm not sure. Yes. To be clear, the pastor himself was not dressed in a wedding gown. The horse Charlotte was dressed in a wedding gown.
Yeah. One is a protest. The other means he goes to hell. So
yeah.
And clearly. I think a salient point to that, I have to ask this pastor, did that horse consent to wearing a wedding dress? Because there seems to be a key sort of attribute to the difference between a gay or same-sex marriage and a man marrying his horse.
Well, I think the most salient point is that one involves humans.
Yeah. Well, and it comes down, a horse cannot consent.
Right.
It's that simple. Like, yeah. You want to know the difference? There it is. By the way, does this story fall under our "and the horse you rode in on"?
I believe by definition it does. Yeah. Oh yeah, I check out the photos if you can. It's the dress is actually fairly well constructed, I think.
I think so too.
Yeah.
She should be feeling quite pretty. She gets to be a princess on her day at the courthouse.
All right, so we had a little bit of weird news. Let's get into some good news. Schools in Berlin, Germany have recognized World Humanist Day as a holiday on par with All Saints Day, Yom Kippur, and Eid. Students who subscribe to humanism will be granted permission to miss school in the same manner as their religious peers. The move is being recognized as the only jurisdiction worldwide to sanction a holiday for humanists. The holiday was originated by members of the International Humanist and Ethical Union, sound familiar, as well as the American Humanist Association, and takes place annually on June 21st, which school isn't in session then, so.
At least school's not in session for us. It might be in Berlin, not sure exactly. But it's kind of cool.
Is it?
I think that it's kind of cool, even if it's a nod to, well, school's probably not even in session anyway. But I think that what it does is recognize that there are people who are non-theistic, non-religious, that still like to recognize times to gather. It's, you know, June 21st is often coinciding with the summer solstice, at least in Germany, winter solstice in the Southern Hemisphere. And I think it's a really neat opportunity to say, look, we live in a pluralistic society with people of lots of different beliefs. And in an educational, public sort of educational system, we would like to recognize that and honor that.
So, and the curious thing I have about this, and I think this is great, this is awesome news, but it says that, like, you have to be a humanist to get this day off of school, or you have to be Jewish to get Yom Kippur off, or you have to be Muslim to get Eid al-Fitr off. We don't do that like that here, do we?
I think it depends on the jurisdiction. I've attended many different school districts and worked in different school districts. And yeah. If the school does not hold session on a particular holiday, it's usually because it's a day of low attendance. So when school is canceled on Yom Kippur, it's usually because...
Well, that's the excuse.
That is. No, it's...
I don't know if I believe that. I honestly... Because people would say that in the Chicago area when I was growing up, and I didn't really buy it.
You have places where you have high concentration of Jewish teachers, Jewish staff members, and Jewish students, and you have a hard time filling those substitute positions on those days. And
yeah, but, you know, we had high populations in some schools that I went to, and those days weren't off, but all the Christian ones were off. I mean, you know, sometimes they actually mean it, but a lot of the times it just seems like an excuse.
Possibly as a nod. It's very disruptive when you have a third of your class missing to basically say you can have this day as an excused day and you want to continue teaching. You want to continue with your curriculum.
Yeah, you're going to side with the teachers because you are one. I get it.
I am one and I've experienced it. It's a wasted day. It's a wasted day if only half your class shows up. So.
But there are other things that are, you know, wasted days that you guys still do.
Please go on.
you're the teacher, you come home and talk about it. When, no, nobody was there today because it was something was going on.
Yeah, and I would advocate if there's a large field trip where half the class is gone, then why hold regular classes anyway?
Sure, sure.
But, I think in terms of we'll be able to get school off in the same way as their religious peers, there are a lot of jurisdictions in a lot of those free and equal states, actually, that we talked about on the report that will say you can't be penalized for missing school for religious observance.
No, I think it's a good idea, but what I'm saying is I think a lot of bad stuff is hidden behind that good idea, which is something that happens sometimes.
Okay.
So I'm not necessarily against the idea, but yeah, I see what you're doing there. But unfortunately, we can't continue talking about it because we're at the top of the hour. This is Ask an Atheist. You can go to our website at askanatheist.tv, email us at questions@askanatheist.tv, or give us a call at 844-SKEPTIC. My name is Sam Mulvey. With me today was Dave Brulette and Rebecca Friedman. Becky and Dave wrote the episode. Music was by Chris Coleman, Steve Siemens, and Phil Whitfield. I am the producer of the show. See you guys next week. Okay, that was good.
That was fun.
Cool. What were you trying to say that I was trying to do?
Oh, you're hedging. I see you hedging. I don't know about that. No, I saw that at schools where we had a significant Jewish population, but for some reason we never got Jewish holidays off. But we got all the Christian ones off because there was a significant Christian population.
Oh, okay.
It's like I hear people talking about that, but I don't see it always playing out that way. Rules like that, I mean, Christian privilege can hide behind rules like that, and that was my point.
The day of low attendance thing?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. It was like nobody was around for Yom Kippur, or, I don't really know holidays. I hate the holidays I'm forced to attend. there's not a lot of teachers, not a lot of subs, but we were still in session because there aren't any Jews in this neighborhood, where really it's just, it's a Christian world, and if you don't like it, take a hike.
Got it.
that's what it was. And you're like, how are you hedging on this? It's like,
I thought you were saying that the Jews wanted their holiday off for a bad reason.
No.
and like the Muslims wanted Eid off of school for a bad reason.
No.
Yeah.
No, that's not what I'm...
Why I was confused, and I was like, I was like trying to hedge on your behalf because I was just like, I don't... What are you saying? That's horrible.
Well, I will go say, yes, they want the day off for a bad reason. So do the Christians. So does everyone else.
Yeah, their holidays are bad.
holidays are bad in general.
I'm not, it sounds like it's good that if everybody has a holiday, we have to have a holiday too, I suppose. But...
And whether it's because we cancel school or you're just waived from being penalized because you miss, this thing.
Yeah, I always feel weird about special days where we honor special populations of people or honor a special person or something like that. It's, President's Day is a way to sell mattresses. And, it just seems like there's got to be a better way to do it than taking a day off, mm-hmm. But I like holidays when there's a cultural component. And it just feels like if humanists and atheists are going to have a holiday, we need sort of a cultural component with it. And I think Darwin Day might be that, even though it's like, oh, it's honoring a specific person. That's bad. That's bad. That's bad. It's not really, though. I mean, it's just called Darwin Day. And what, especially with Seattle Atheists, what they do is it's a time where they get together and educate kids and have fun and...
Yeah, promote education.
A lot of games at Camp Quest, had originated with Darwin Day.
Yep.
So, well, Camp Quest Northwest, anyway. Whew. Yeah, so I don't know. I just I think it's overall a good thing, but it's not the kind of thing that's going to get my engines fired, if you will.
I think the holiday was only formed in the late 80s.
Sure.
And so I think building up a little bit of that culture with it is going to take time. It's going to take more than 30 years or so.
That's a good point. Yeah.
You have on December 21st the humanist holiday that's tried to be popularized called Human Light, which is like a solstice festival of lights related thing.
It sounds like the humans you eat when you're on a diet.
Human light. Okay, fair.
I hate to be a jerk about stuff like that. And this is straight up me being a jerk about it. I'm not gonna hide.
So in a week, we will not be eating humans. We will not be...
yeah.
Next Sunday, come soy eat your low-fat humans.
Yeah. You're going to have human fast.
Yeah, human, soy human. Was that from
Human Moss?
Adventure Time, where Finn realizes how good people apparently taste.
Yes.
Yeah.
Ah. Soy human. Wow, your kind tastes awesome.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess I kind of have a low opinion of holidays as it is. You know, there's a conversation I was having with people on Facebook. It's like, there is no holiday that I can like that doesn't have something horrible attached to it. Like Thanksgiving is the holiday I generally like the most because it's the lowest key of the holidays, unless you're me and you're frying 7 tons of poultry.
42 pounds.
Right. 7 tons. Clearly when I say 7 tons, I'm being fully straight on honest with you.
It wasn't actually 42 either. You had a 12 pound turkey and an 18 pound turkey?
20.
20, a 20 pound turkey
and a 14
and a 14 pound turkey.
Okay.
You no more 20 pound turkeys.
No,
that was horrible.
Three tens.
Yeah, I'll do 3 tens because the smaller birds cook more evenly.
Yeah.
In the fryer.
Speaking of which, I've got some stock for you to take home to Carol.
Oh, nice. Oh, So the Daily Show thing, something occurred to me about this discussion we were having.
Stairway conversation. Yeah, go on.
Agreed. That we both like The Daily Show.
Right.
And we both like the FFRF.
Yeah.
You, in general, are more critical of the FFRF. And I'm more critical, or you are more supportive of The Daily Show. I'm more supportive of the FFRF. And I was arguing that The Daily Show was fine. Like, I was arguing the opposite point. We kind of swapped places on that one. I thought that was kind of interesting.
That
I'm
was
like,
cool.
Huh.
Yeah. I don't know. It's some of the funniest stuff that The Daily Show does with their interviews. They're clearly edited, finely edited. And it's funny. I like pointing it out. I like seeing it, but I also kind of know that there's a little bit of dishonesty there. And this is where I say, like, the line between journalism and comedy is. Where, like, I'm not the kind of guy who says they got to pick one. But I think they have to own both.
Right.
Because you can't go around saying anything meaningful. It's like something Jon Stewart did for a long time. So you would say something meaningful, it would fall flat. And you always go back to, well, the show that follows me is puppets doing crank phone calls. So nothing that I say matters. And it's like, then why are you trying to be meaningful? You can be funny. You can own comedy and you can own meaningful. You can own both. You can totally do both because you are doing both.
Right.
Own the fact that you're doing both.
Right.
With some of the interviews with the really crazy religious politicians, you can tell. Yeah. There's a video by Potholer 54 specifically about how video journalism and how editing can be done to make things sound the opposite of what they're trying to say.
To make them seem as they aren't.
Yeah, well, which should be. We'll go on.
Is there any level of responsibility on the interviewee for knowing going in what's going to happen and being prepared for that and trying to limit the damage?
I think so, but in Dan Barker might be a special case because this was 180 what he's expected from The Daily Show.
No, the first time he was on, they mocked him as well.
Yeah, they mock him all the time, but they usually give him a little bit more of a say. They do a better job of letting him have his piece.
I don't know. I the first one was about what?
It was about the Mother Teresa stamp.
Right. I thought that was his only other appearance, and he was also made to look like a dick.
He is a dick.
And he was. That one was damn funny. They even got Harvey Keitel into that one.
Nice.
But to go back to it, is we're not going to get the change that we're looking for. We're not going to affect the social change that we want if we're not willing to be a dick. It's just straight up. It's in the public sphere. We have to take our lumps sometimes.
Yeah. Well, and the reason I ask, is there any impetus on the interviewee to know what they're going? I think on the flip side, like going into an interview, a recorded interview with Ray Comfort, you got to be very careful what you're going to say because you know he's going to edit it to make you look as bad as possible.
But some of those things can't be helped. I think, honestly, if Dan Barker really sat for 2 hours in that interview and the things that they got, really had to mine for stuff to make him look like an insensitive
They mine for stuff is sort of their stock and trade in this case. Now, they're a little bit more honest with it because they're not trying to be, like they say, it's a news comedy show.
where Fox News just does it and that's just the news.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing is, they mined for it, but even the things that he said weren't false. They weren't false. They weren't inaccurate. And they were legalistically and academically stated.
That's one of which will
make him sound like a dry, unsympathetic ass, but...
Yeah, and that's one of the ones that I run into a lot is, like, Bill Maher. I'm like, well, he's a tool, but he isn't wrong. You know.
Oh, he's factually incorrect. He's a large number of things.
He is often wrong. But
shall we talk about GMOs?
No.
Vaccinations.
We're
definitely... No, but, like, when I'm watching Religulous, like, especially the big end about how damaging religion is and how if we don't put a stop to it now, the world is going to end in a fireball. And I'm like, you know, he doesn't have a delicate touch.
No.
Bill Maher never has.
No.
And... he's kind of a dick, but he's not wrong. Like,
yeah,
you know, the final point in that movie is like, I wouldn't have put it that way.
Yeah, I think it was a bit overstated. Well, no, I think it was a bit
overdramatic.
Overdramatic.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know.
So
I think there's a time for that sort of rhetoric, and the end of your movie, while it may thematically and literarily, is that a word?
Mm-hmm.
May be worthwhile to end your movie that way. We can't pretend it's furthering the dialogue.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, and this is one that Mike Gillis always talks about, is being a part of a minority group means that anyone who says something crazy, you're going to be blamed for it.
Right.
You know, when he was with the Green Party, you know, the craziest people in the world, everyone's like, well, that's a Green Party. But you get Lyndon LaRouche and no one says, well, that's the Democrats. They say, that's a crazy guy who claims to be a Democrat.
Well, LaRouche claimed Democratic Party membership?
He used to.
Okay.
That's how he got his inroads in Chicago when he did. But I'm not going to debate Mike when he's not here. But, I mean, the LaRouches are a political group under themselves. So I do think they sort of fall under that in their own way. But he's got a point. And, you know, yeah. He absolutely does. So my answer to that is to be the guy everybody has to apologize for, maybe.
You are no Dan Barker. You are no Bill Maher.
But I'm working towards it. Yeah. Someday.
I wasn't saying that as a slam. I was appreciative of that.
I know.
Damn.
We've actually got, 15 minutes of us talking, like, because this week, okay, for those of you who are following the fallout of That Which Shall Not Be Mentioned, we weren't in the studio for the last 2 weeks, I actually rebuilt it from the ground up, so, it sounds better now, but it's not 100% perfect yet. I'm actually gonna have to bring in some help, because I got some things that I just haven't figured out. But while we were testing the studio out, we actually spent 15 minutes talking about Christopher Hitchens and why I think Christopher Hitchens matters. I was like, hey, wait, didn't he die? Like, isn't his death anniversary, his mattress sale day coming up? Can I just call when the anniversaries of when people die their mattress sale day?
I like it. I really like that one.
I still say Yahrzeit in my head.
Yahrzeit?
Yahrzeit is the Hebrew word for the anniversary of someone's death.
It sounds like a mineral.
Yeah, yahrzeit.
This
it's my birthstone.
Yeah, this rock is 80% yahrzeit. I'm a jerk. Sorry. Anyway, are we doing a post show today?
We should. Are you joining us for a post show?
I will join. I'm going home to watch the football game.
Okay.
But after that, I will come up for post show. I won't be able to post. We got plans tonight, so.
All right.
But yeah, if you want to go to Doyle's Hub or somewhere else.
Oh, he's willing to go to the Hub.
I'm always willing to go to Hub.
I don't want to go to the Hub.
I just whine about
tap
it.
Room.
Oh, not Hub. Yeah.
I don't know. Tap room. I don't know. I don't really get why you don't like the Tap Room.
I don't like their food. I don't like their beer.
Yeah. What's it like being so wrong? All right. Anyway, so that's all we got. I got about an hour to put this together and upload. So I will catch you guys next week.
All right.